Today on Locked On Rockies. Hey, that felt pretty good.
You are Locked On Rockies, your daily Colorado Rockies podcast. Part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
Rock on, Rockies fans. Welcome to the Locked On Rockies podcast for today, the 7th day of September in the year 2022. I am your host of the Locked On Rockies podcast, Paul Holden, your Rockies fan extraordinaire, bringing you your daily Colorado Rockies podcast right here on the Locked On Podcast Network, where you can find your team every single day. And if your team is the Colorado Rockies, well, you are in the right place, because this is where we break down the Colorado Rockies each and every day. I've been following this team my whole life, been bringing you your daily Rockies podcast for about 2 years now as well. And today, Unlocked on Rockies, it's a feel-good series win recap. I mean, something we don't always get to do, something that can be kind of a rarity. And apologies there if you hear those sirens on my end here. But anyway, the Rockies today, wow, that's what it's supposed to be like. That's what the experience should be like for teams when they come into Coors Field. And it shows that two things that the Rockies have needed to do more this season were on full display of how important they are. Why were the Rockies so dominant today? And it kind of got a little hairy there with the abundance of solo home runs that were being let up. But the Rockies were really, really good today because of strikeouts and home runs. The Rockies dominated on the bump. Kyle Freeland went out and made sure that he was attacking batters. He had the movement. He was able to go out and use his stuff and get strikeouts. You want to know a great way to negate the Coors Field factor for your opponents? Don't let them take advantage of historically hot weather. Well, don't give them a chance to hit the ball. Strike them out. Blow them away. Striking more batters out needs to be at the forefront of the Rockies' pitching philosophy for next year. Clearly, they have the stuff to get balls hit and play. Kyle Freeland was dynamite on getting weak contact and avoiding hits today. This is going to rank up there as one of Kyle Freeland's best starts of the year. One run off of two hits and a lot, and with eight strikeouts. Really, really good stuff there for Kyle Freeland in this one. Exactly what you're looking for from Freeland. That is why you believe in Kyle Freeland and those type of performances. And we've seen a couple of that. We've seen flashes of that. And when you remind yourself that Freeland isn't, well, I guess it depends on how you look at the way the Rockies rotation is. Freeland isn't a true number one. He isn't a true ace, but he is someone that has kind of made you feel more confident than not when compared to the other members of the rotation this year. I felt better when Kyle Freeland has gone up to face the batters this year than others, but I mean, I know it's still not saying much when most of the pitching staff this year hasn't been entertaining. But I think we've seen a lot of great from Kyle Freeland this year too. Pitching performances like this. When he has control, when he's dominant, and when you keep the opposition off balance and unable to connect and make solid contact with you, it obviously does everything and it changes everything. And then when you mix in the fact that the Rockies offense was hitting home runs in the series and how did they win and come back in the game in yesterday's game? Home runs. Home runs are so critical. And it's kind of interesting. I've kind of changed my tune. I've changed my tune about a lot of things, but I was saying the Rockies should be focusing on doubles and not worrying so much about hitting home runs, but that's not the case. The Rockies should be a home run factory. The Rockies should be a team that hits a lot of home runs. There's no better way to score runs, especially in the modern game of baseball. And the Rockies were able to get it and get it from people that aren't your CJ Crones and stuff. I mean, who's hit the home runs? It's the new guys. Alan Trejo and Tolia go yard today. And boy, did Tolia get all of that one. I mean, he absolutely launched that ball. Montero goes yard yesterday. Grichik goes yard. Daza puts the ball over the yard. I mean, that isn't your McMahon, your Blackman, your Crones that are putting the ball over the wall. Brendan Rodgers, for example, as well. It's the other parts of the lineup. It's the young guys, and that is a good sign. When we're looking for positive, good takeaways from that, That is it. It's that these new faces of Rockies are actually swinging the bat and making good contact. It's pretty awesome. Atolia has hit two home runs in his time with the Rockies, both from with on each side of the plate. It's great that he actually got to see a little sneak preview of the potential of those Todd Helton comparisons today. Big frame. He can cover a lot of ground on the defensive side. And what's he do? He hits a home run. He hits a double, gets on base. Exactly what we are looking for. These are good signs. But these haven't been parts of the Rockies' mindset, identity, and philosophy. And the Rockies haven't been able to consistently do this, even at home. This is what I talk about. This is what I mean when we're talking about the mindset, the philosophy, the approach that the Rockies are taking to the game. The Rockies are not a team that likes to focus on strikeouts. The Rockies of late have not been a team that focuses on home runs. Even with some of the names that have been on this team, you'd be surprised to hear that, but the Rockies haven't necessarily dominated in home runs or been a really big leader in home runs since they were in the playoffs. Those two factors, they're the big buzzword topics of baseball anyway. Home runs and strikeouts. They are so critical, but they are absolutely critical for the Rockies at home. When the Rockies are in the driver's seat at Coors Field, it starts when their pitchers are keeping their opponents off balance and avoiding the contact and not even letting them get started. You saw what the issue was when you let the Brewer, when you got sloppy with the pitching. When you gave the Brewers opportunities in this game, the Rockies were in the driver's seat. The Rockies won this game. They still won it handedly. But the Brewers were able to slowly climb and slowly build momentum. And by hitting those solo home runs, sure, they weren't doing that much damage. But 8-4 is a lot closer sounding than that game actually was. And if those home runs and if those hits were starting to come a little bit earlier against the Rockies, that is when they can be in trouble. The Rockies can't be on the other side of the home run like they are this year, giving up far, far, far too many home runs this year and too many opportunities given up in this one as well. You can't allow a good home run team, hitting team like the Brewers to just be able to swing away and swing freely. You will lose leads. Good thing that they were going to, keep it to solo shots and they didn't walk a bunch of batters today. Because those could have been dangerous. I mean, that's something you can't ignore here. When the Rockies, only two more hits, good sign, but you can't be giving up two home runs in the top of the ninth. You can't be giving up a home run in the eighth. That's how teams build up momentum against a struggling bullpen. Good thing the Rockies were able to jump out ahead and had such a dominant lead there that they didn't fall apart. Because like we've seen them have, thank goodness they had enough to stay in the driver's seat. That's what I want the Rockies to do. I want the Rockies to be more aggressive, jump out ahead. When you jump out ahead early, of course, you can at least build the momentum. You can help your pitcher get in the groove, especially when you got someone dealing like Kyle Freeland was today. Let's dive into the live chat here and answer your Rockies questions live. But before we do that, I got to pull up who helps make the show possible today. And that is Built Bar. If you haven't tried Built Bar Puffs yet, you are depriving yourself of one of life's greatest joys. And guess what? There's a new flavor. Are you ready? It's delicious, indulgent cookie dough covered in chocolate. That's right. Built has done it again. Let me introduce you to your new favorite. Cookie dough chunk puffs have a light and chewy texture, real cookie dough chunks, and of course, they're covered in 100% real chocolate. All the joys of eating cookie dough without the hassle of making it. Plus, it's healthy for you. Cookie dough chunk puffs are only 160 calories and they have a whopping 15 grams of protein in them. Run to built.com and snag a box for you and the family. It will be the perfect treat. And guess what? When you head to built.com, you can use the promo code LOCKED15. That's the promo code LOCKED15 at built.com. That's going to get you 15% off your order. Yes, 15% off your order of the brand new cookie dough chunk puffs from Built Bar when you use the promo code LOCKEDON15. That's LOCKEDON15 to get 15% off your order at built.com. Use promo code LOCKEDON15. Diving into the live chat, Tanner Cruz says, "This year sucked from the Rockies, but dang, that game was fun. I felt like a playoff game. It's kind of weird, the Rockies offense. But let's see. Kind of weird, the Rockies offense from the sound of crap to what we kind of saw. Kind of freaky, not going to lie. Yeah, it's the big flip for the Rockies. It's something that they have to take a real hard-nosed approach to looking into. The Rockies really need to dive into and see what makes the team so different at home versus away. Talk to the players. Look at the stats. Look at the film. I want the analytics department to be looking into that as well. Because why is Jose Iglesias so much better on the road? Why is Jose Iglesias that much better on the road versus how he's hit at Coors Field this season? And vice versa for other players that really only hit at home and struggle on the road. Or why can't the Rockies really hit long balls? Where's the consistency? What happens there? And why does it always happen? It can't just be sitting there and throw your hands up and just say altitude, altitude. That's just not how the game works anymore. There's way too much data. There's way too much science. There's way too much knowledge that needs to be discovered and figured out for this Rockies team to sit there and be able to think that that's really all that's it. We have some good hitters on the team, a good approach, but is it hitting philosophy? Is it approach? What is it that makes it so different for the Rockies to play on the road? And again, part of that thing is leaning into this. When I say it, I mean it. This is the series like this is how it should go for teams that come to Coors Field. It should be an absolute nightmare. Every single time any team looks at the schedule to come to Coors Field, it should be something that they dread because the Rockies can do what they did. The Rockies went out in this series and they scored 22 runs. They outscored the Brewers by a score of 17-22. So not that much domination overall when you look at it, but multi-run leads and wins in both games, especially when the Brewers were sitting there thinking that, hey, we got this one. We have this. All the Rockies need is the right spark and the right opportunities to come back and storm back like they have multiple times at Coors. The Rockies putting up a 5 spot to take the lead against the Brewers is something that should be more of the norm. It's something we should expect the Rockies to do when they are playing games at Coors Field and have opportunities to get back in them instead of being surprised about it. The Rockies need to be a team that has offense in their blood, a team that needs to be a dominant force on offense and leads leagues in certain categories. Maybe it doesn't have to be the entire league, but the National League, your division. You need to have division leaders and good offense at Coors Field. It needs to feel like that's what it needs to be like to build the confidence so that when you can get yourself in the right, there has to be a rhythm. There has to be a connection. There has to be a pipeline for the Rockies to be able to pull this all together. And maybe it isn't with this actual roster connection, but if it does pan out, if these players pan out to where they are and you see how they're performing right now, if we do get consistency, you see why the Rockies believe in some of these prospects. If we get play like we've seen from Montero and we get play like we saw from Tolia today. It's a good sign. I mean, this is if only you feel good about this series, you feel good about it, you learn a little bit about the Rockies, but you have to realize that it comes at a point in the year when what truly does it matter? What truly does it matter for the Rockies here? What are we gaining? What are we taking away from these series here? It's just a reminder that Coors Field needs to be a difficult place to play for everybody, and let's go. Keep giving our prospects time and let's keep seeing what they are going to do at that time. I want to keep seeing Tolia come up in big situations. Not only does he launch the big home run today, he's also almost comes up in the walk-off situation yesterday in a situation to help his team win. Grichuk, of course, stepping up, being massive, hitting the ball up. It's so, so important for the Rockies to keep the ball off the ground and hit the ball over the wall, something that's got to be at the utmost, at the top of the list of importance to focus on for this Rockies offense. I mean, it's hit the ball hard and hit it in the air, and Coors Field is going to take care of you. But So there's a lot to take away and feel good from this series. I mean, overall, it doesn't really change much for the Rockies. It helps them push back into, you know, now they're at 20 games below 500. They can get back to less than 20 games below 500 here with the D-backs in town. But, you know, that is something that's nice. I mean, it's nice to sit here and feel good about the way the Rockies played an entire series. It's been a bit that we can sit there and say that the Rockies have played a good, full, complete series that they were dominant in. I mean, the Rockies haven't won a series since the Giants series there back in the middle of August. And that came after getting just absolutely shellacked by the Cardinals and swept away. I mean, it has been a really tough haul for the Rockies here with only the two series, the very few series wins in August. You're in the last full month of the season. You're in any opportunity you have to mess around and get in the way of the playoff race. That's great. But now it's for the time for the Rockies to recreate, emulate, focus on stuff like this, and how do they recreate it, and how do they make it consistent? It's way too early to get ahead of ourselves, but you do sit here and you feel good about what Montero and Tolia especially are doing for this team. And there is a... Oh, boy. Tanner Cruz got an interesting question here that took me off guard. Also, what year do you predict that the Rockies get a new stadium? I know it's kind of early to be talking about it, but a lot of teams are making new ones, so I kind of would like to... Not anytime soon. Coors Field is the crown jewel of Dick Monfort, and he's been able to do it. It's prime location. Union Station's right there. I don't think you do something like the Broncos. Football teams are shifting to kind of creating the full campus, the full thing. And the Rockies really already have that. There's a bunch of stuff that they've built there. They've invested in McGregor Square right next to it. Coors Field is not going anywhere. I think it's going to be a mainstay of downtown Denver for a long, long time. I think instead they will just do as much to repair and upkeep and do it, because when you walk into Coors, I mean, it doesn't seem archaic in some stuff. When you walk into other stadiums, it doesn't necessarily feel as old as it actually is, as Coors Field being, the third oldest park in the National League. So I don't think we would see a new stadium for the Rockies anytime soon. One player that I haven't talked about enough in this podcast is one that has provided a huge spark and clearly made an impact for the club, and we're going to talk about him right after this. The Rockies got back a player that has surprised a bunch of players this year. By players, I mean me, podcast hosts. And Jonathan Daza, he goes up and he gets another multi-hit game today. Two hits for Daza in this one. Also, he gets driven in a couple of times. He's responsible for two runs scored there by the Rockies. And what does he do? Also, against the Brewers, well, he just hits a massive home run and goes 2-for-4 with 4 RBIs and a walk in Saturday's game. And we heard it in the broadcast the whole weekend. We heard it. This is clearly a player that brings energy, brings excitement, and brings a spark to a team that really needed it. It's something that he is going to be something to watch. Daza has clearly won out. Out of the Rockies prospects that we've seen in the outfield, he is the one that is going that you have the most confidence in. He is the one that you want to see in the lineup every single day, and can really do great things. I mean, he's got the speed. I think he's a pretty darn good defender. I think he can always work on the routes and the approach to the ball a little bit, but the speed mixed with the fact that he has just gotten hits in a lot of multi-hit games, and if he's able to put the ball over the wall every now and then too, Jonathan Daza could be a nice player for the Rockies. Again, another player where you look at and you just say, okay, will it? The Rockies have been way too inconsistent of a team for us to sit here and just lock in the full confidence on some of these players. We've had you know, really big breakouts. We've seen some stuff, but how consistent can it be? Can Daza can go and do it again next year? Connor Joe has kind of fallen off. What happens with him? You know, we were all high on the on with Connor Joe's stuff, but with injuries and things of that nature, what how is that going to impact? We need to see more from Daza. We need to see, but what we are seeing from Daza is great, and what clearly he makes an impact on the team. I mean, he clearly is important to this team. There's an energy, and he's obviously makes a threat in the lineup and adds some thump. I mean, it is an interesting thing. But, you know, Tanner, we always appreciate everyone jumping in the live chat. Sometimes we got the big crowds like yesterday, and sometimes we got the small days here. But Adrian here in our live chat continues the crusade here. The way Trejo, Montero, and Tog Dog. It's kind of, that's a good one, but it's also the G is silent. So it's Toe Dog are playing. McMahon should just get days off. I mean, yes and no. I don't know. I mean, we just like we talked about yesterday, it's an interesting point or place for McMahon, but I would be interested to see if how much that is going to cut into his playing time. Just plain and simple. I mean, it's you play the hot hand, you let the prospects play a little bit, and you kind of let McMahon take this year and take this moment to kind of be the vet, to kind of guide, to help these young guys with these opportunities. and of course, at Rock's Hot Take says, who's this Chris Bryant guy? We pay him? Yeah. Who knows? Here's the deal with Chris Bryant as we'll close out today. If he stays mostly healthy throughout a good chunk of this contract, he will be contributing to this team. He will help the Rockies be better. He's not going to be a dominant. I don't think he will be the MVP. I hope I'm wrong. If Chris Bryant resurgence, if he goes and this year he's banged up, he gets the treatment he needs, he does the rehab he needs, he takes this year, he takes all of this rehab rehabilitation, and he comes back in and he just goes ballistic next year, that's awesome. But he still will contribute to this team, and he still will be able to provide some guidance, but it still will forever be a reminder of mismanagement and misaligned expectations and a shot in a different direction that didn't work out. And it was a big gamble that didn't pay off. I think that's really what it's going to be. That's kind of where I'm at with Chris Bryant right now, because I still think he has the ability to contribute to this team. We will see what the rehab and the process and everything's going to be like with the fact that he hasn't played in a bit. He's had these multiple injuries. He's doing this stuff. There's just no reason to play him for the rest of the season. The Rockies really should. I don't know if they've actually officially said it, but they should be shutting him down for the entire season and just letting him rehab and get ready for next year and just see what happens. Tanner, the spider went out on its own, I believe crawled through a vent. I have not seen where the spider has ended up, but that doesn't mean I treated it with peace. I approached it with peace. I hope it will do the same. Boy, that was a big time spider. Folks, that's going to do it for today's episode of Locked On Rockies. Thank you so much for making us your first listen of the day. Hey, if you subscribe on YouTube or if you tell your friends about the show, you are helping us out big time. Make sure you're also following us at LO Rockies on Twitter, and you can follow me at PaulHolden33. You can also stay up to date with all things Colorado sports with the Locked On Avalanche, Locked On Broncos, and Locked On Nuggets podcasts. And now for your second listen, you can go check out the Ultimate Pro Football Preview 2022, an 8-episode extravaganza to get you ready for the NFL season. The local team of experts of the Locked On Podcast Network, plus a betting angle from Lee Sterling of Locked On Bets, all combining into one Ultimate NFL Preview. Search for Ultimate Pro Football Preview 2022 on your Odyssey app, YouTube, or wherever you get podcasts. And if you do the same, you'll find us. Just search Locked On Rockies wherever you find podcasts, and we'll be there talking Rockies with you. Thank you to Rock's Hot Takes. Thank you to Tanner Crew. Thank you to Adrian Ortega for joining the live chat today. And until next time, folks, I'm Paul Holden saying so long from the Locked On Rockies podcast.